With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Mic Check! It's Mic Check! The podcast by Mike Myers!
And we're clear.
Hello, horny babies. Hello, cheeky monkeys. Hello, Waniacs. And hello, Shrekheads. Welcome to Mic Check! With Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos, the only podcast in known existence where two comedians with hearts of gold scour through the exhaustive filmography and bibliography.
Yes, indeed.
Of funny man Mike Myers, just to check if it's still shagadelic. And so far,
so Shrek.
Oh yes, I'm Cameron James, and the other voice, the dulcet tones you're hearing in your ear holes right now, belong to none other than Alexi Toliopoulos.
We may have hearts of gold, but we have souls of green, I must declare.
You must say it, and I'm so glad that we finally got that on the record. Yes, we voted for the Greens.
We really did.
We vote for the Greens because, to our understanding, it's the marijuana party. Yes?
That's what I reckon.
My local member, Mary Jane, is doing a lot of good for this community, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, and may her pastures forever be green.
We were just saying before we pressed record on this that it's slowly dawning on us how dumb this podcast is. When we were about to press record and then I was like, oh, I'm not wearing my hat. And I had to run off to grab my hat to record this. So.
Yes, well, it's the only way I can get my money's worth of it.
It's true.
I did pay $90 at the start of this very podcast to get two vintage Spy Who Shagged Me baseball caps.
Antiques.
They're antiques. Antiquities. They're antiquities.
Antiquities and curiosities, dare I say. And curiosity did kill the cat, but thankfully not my favourite cat, Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots does feature in Shrek Forever After,
which is today's episode. It's all about Shrek Forever After. Allegedly, the fourth and final chapter in the Shrek mythology.
Well, there could be a few little side chapters for this one, I would say.
I believe there are some side chapters that we are yet to explore, and potentially, and this is a spoiler, potentially there may be a fifth film.
Yes, there is.
The rumors are out there in the Shrekiverse.
Maybe we should get to that towards the end of the
podcast. Absolutely. We'll talk about potentially what that could be, where we want to see this franchise go. Now, before we dig deep into Shrek Forever After, I just want to recap a few things that we felt about this franchise so far.
And today, it's just us two. It's just family. Yep. After all, we are closing a chapter in one of the greatest family dramas of all time, the Shrek franchise.
Yeah, and this is the first time we've done a Shrek feature film without a guest.
Yes.
It's very daunting.
I think it was personal today.
It was personal today.
And I think it's appropriate and apropos that we're doing it just the two of us, catching up.
Just the two of us, you and I.
Mini-me and Dr. Evil style, just the two of us.
Now, the reason we had guests on our other episodes were because, and let's be frank about this, I'll be Frank, you be the Beans. Oh my God, fucking hell. The reason that we had guests is because we were hesitant when diving into the Shrekiverse. Mm. We were not looking forward to it.
And we did. We had no real love for them at all. And I think at this point now, we are honest to God Shrek-sperts. Like, we probably know more about Shrek than any fucking child in this country.
Yeah, that's true. And dare I say it, the world.
Yeah. I mean, we still haven't seen everything of the Shrek stuff, but we've seen almost all of it.
We've seen, we've reviewed fucking videos from a...
from a video game.
From a video game. We reviewed videos from a actual... live, what was that fucking thing we did at Universal Studios?
Oh, yeah, the Shrek like, 4D. Thing.
Yeah, the 4D
I've been
experience.
On the tour.
Listen, that's outrageous. Mm. I mean, we went deep on Shrek this time.
We went deep and down on Shrek.
and I think it's time for the fourth chapter. We felt ready to do this without the help of a comedian friend. We thought we can finally dig deep and close the chapter on this fairy tale book.
Yeah.
This fractured fairy tale book.
And that's what makes Shrek so unique. It's fairy tales, but with a little bit of edge
they're
to it.
They're fractured,
all.
I would say.
they're fractured. Just like a young boy tripping over on the soccer field, this is fractured.
This is a spinal fracture.
Yeah. Not unlike Anthony Hopkins and Ryan Gosling in a thriller, this is fracture.
Oh my god. So today is all about the fourth one. We have not hid our disdain for Shrek in the past. However, in the last entry in the Shrekiverse, we watched Scared Shrekless, which is a vignette.
Yes, a series of vignettes.
A series of vignettes.
Set in the world of Shrek.
Set in the land of far, far away, which was based around Halloween, a Halloween themed story. And we loved it.
Yes, it made my Halloween-y stand.
Come on, dude. I love that shit.
Me too, dude. I love that kind of shit, and it makes me feel really happy.
So I think we were really looking forward to this.
Yes.
Because we felt revived after Scared Shrekless.
I think it was one of the best things in the entire Shrek franchise.
Yeah, it was one of my happiest Mike memories from this podcast.
It truly were. Yeah. It truly were.
But we had to push came to shove. We had to watch this feature film. I'm going to hold off on how I feel about it. We literally just press stop on my Apple TV remote. And it's time to dive into it. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are closing the book on Shrek Forever After.
But alas, my dear friends, we have come to the final chapter.
And I am afraid our hero has fallen victim to a terrible curse.
Oh, no.
From DreamWorks.
Fiona.
What's happening?
Donkey, it's me.
I've never seen you before in my life.
It's Shrek, your best friend.
Oh! Please eat my face last and send my hooves to my mama.
This summer, far, far away, is in big, big trouble. DreamWorks. Shrek Forever After. The final chapter in 3D.
DreamWorks presents Shrek Forever After, also known as Shrek Forever After, the final chapter. Released in 2010, the fourth chapter of this fairy tale series finds Shrek feeling less like a monster and more like a man in the midst of a midlife crisis. And this is the point I would like to remind people, this is the second film in the Shrek franchise that has dealt with Shrek, the lovable green ogre, going through a midlife crisis.
Now, when you think of depression, I'm sure many of you think of the Black Dog. But in future generations, they will rename it the Green Ogre.
Yeah.
This character is a walking definition of the blues. Let's call it the greens. Come on.
Come on. I voted for them. I know what it is.
But he's so sad.
He's so fucked up. He's really got a really fucked up life. And I think this movie does such a convincing job towards the start of the film of setting up the day-to-day monotony. Monotony?
Yes.
Monogamy?
And monogamy, I would say.
And monogamy, which is a very disappointing part of reality. of Shrek's day-to-day life. Just it being, just him going through, it shows a montage of like morning to night of Shrek's life and how it repeats itself every day of him changing his ugly kid's diapers, him going out.
Trying to have a shit in peace.
Yes, he goes to his outhouse to let a huge log of Shrek out of his anus. But in there, he's interrupted by a traveling carriage of star tours where it's all these tourists going, oh my God, that's the most famous ogre in history,
Shrek. Because here's the thing, Shrek's famous now.
Yes.
He's saved Far, Far Away 3 times
exactly.
that we know of.
Well, he saved it twice. He saved Duloc once. Come on.
Yeah, but
he upped his game each
that's
time.
That's true. He did up his game. He's battled ghosts, dragons, all sorts of evil
handsome
things.
Boys, handsome fairy men, godmothers. Oh, that's all of them. That's
about
everything.
It. Yeah, that's about all the things he's battled.
But, Simon Cowell's criticisms.
But at this point, he's so famous that this guy can't even take a fucking dump.
He can't even squirt a load out in his own backyard.
Because, and I got to tell you, at this point, I'm relating.
Yes.
I mean, I can shit in peace. I'm not famous, but I'm like, okay, that would be horrible.
That would be tough.
That would be really horrible. Because at one point, the carriage of like tourists accidentally knocks over his outhouse and he's just there shitting in front of everyone.
Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, look, I had a bit of a Jurassic Park incident happen to me once when...
Where a giant scaly creature
ate me when I was on the Blumpkin.
Gave you a Blumpkin on the toilet.
Yeah, it was pretty fucked. But I'm feeling bad for Shrek, but I'll tell you where my sympathies end with him. Because the beginning of this story, the first like 5 to 6 minutes of this story is exactly that. It's just all a montage of him being depressed. My sympathies end with the fact that this is a story of a person who resents his family, hates being a dad, and is growing to wish he'd never met his wife.
Yeah, to resent his partner and his children in a way that is very visceral.
Yeah.
And this is a movie for children.
I must remind you all, this is a children's story.
I can't...
It's a fractured fairy tale.
Yeah, and this fracture is a compound. But it makes me so upset to think some young guy, whether he's got cream or not, is watching this movie. And they're just, you know, some 8-year-old kid is watching this movie. He's like, oh, I want to watch a fun little flick to just fucking let the days pass. And then he comes out of it going, feeling that maybe his dad has resentment for him.
Yeah.
Maybe his dad used to have a better life before he was around. Maybe his dad hates his fucking mum. And movies are about escapism.
Thank you.
And Shrek, of all the Mike Myers movies, are the ones that are least escapeful.
I know. It's the most like reality.
And so, if you've got a kid, do not let them watch Shrek. Put Austin Powers.
Or, if you're going to put on an animated film, Puss in Boots, which I'm yet to watch.
We have yet to see,
but I bet it's a blast.
I reckon it's going to make you blast. You love that little chubster.
Let's get back to that when we get to it. I want to hold on to my... I'm edging myself with puss at the moment. I don't want to blow too soon. I'm edging. Now, okay. Depression is at the forefront of this story. And then this is, I think, the inciting incident.
Mm.
The birthday party sequence. Mm. We both had a reaction to this sequence.
Yes, because it is fucked up. It's a fucked up sequence. It's a fucked up thing that happens in this world.
It's the first birthday of the 3 Shrek triplets.
Let's count them off. What are their names?
We've got Frangos.
Furnace.
And...
Felicia. Felching Felicia. But he seriously does have 3 children. They all start with the letter F.
I can't remember what they are. Farkle.
Farkle, Fergus, and Felicia.
It is by Felicia.
Yeah. She's by... She's only one.
Yeah, well, you're born that way.
Yeah, you know? I guess so. We're all born naked and the rest is Shrek.
Yeah, the only person I know who wasn't born the way she is Fiona.
Yeah.
She chose to be
She didn't
an ogre.
Choose. That's who she truly was on the
well,
inside.
Well, love's true kiss.
Yeah, and it just shows who she truly is.
Yeah, true dat, brother.
Yeah, I'm woke. I voted for the Greens.
Yeah, me too, dude. In fact, I'm voting for them right now.
Dude, I'm green and Shrek.
I'm Shrekking out of here. Yeah, okay, so he's at the birthday party for his children, and this sequence... gave me the desired effect, which was anxiety.
Agita. It gave me full on agita.
Yeah, I was starting to, my heart was starting to pound. It's all sharp cuts of people being
and little zooms
irritating
and stuff.
To Shrek. Yeah, the sound design is through the roof. It's all little zooms. Mm. It's little quick whip pans all over the place, replicating a panic attack. And you and I both noted that this sequence is very similar to Tony Soprano's
yeah.
panic attack in the first episode of The Sopranos.
It's full on Sopranos in this scene.
Like, it's almost shot for shot.
It really is crazy. And I mean, Shrek looks exactly like James Gandolfini. Yeah, may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. Yeah.
I really hope he found peace.
Tragically, we did lose James
Jim.
Gandolfini.
We lost James Gandolfini. And he is one of our heroes.
Yeah. No doubt.
No doubt at all. In my mind, all my heart.
I love him. And you're right. I think if the Shrek characters were Sopranos characters, you know, Shrek has to be
Tone.
He's got to be T.
He's got to be Tone for sure. Who do you Fiona obviously is Carmella.
Well, I think Carmella by default, Soprano. Unfortunately, she does have to be Carmella, although I do.
And Felicia is Meadow for sure, because that's their child.
Yeah, and Farkle, AJ.
Yeah. And
Fergus?
Fergus is probably, do they have a dog?
No, they did have those ducklings, but I think the ducklings, they're those little dronglings. Those
yeah,
little
the dronglings are the ducklings.
They're the ducklings.
Donkey, I would probably say Paulie Walnuts.
Yeah, I was thinking either Paulie or Christopher. Yeah. Just like,
I would say Christopher's Pinocchio, because he always wants to be a real boy.
Plus, he's got that big schnoz.
And you know who one of my fake characters from Soprano is? Salvatore Pussy Boppensiero,
yes,
big pussy.
Please.
And who's the biggest pussy in the world? Puss in Boots.
Absolutely. And can I just say, may we rest in peace, big pussy. Because tragically... Yeah.
He ratted on the family.
Yeah, spoiler alert, he did rat and he sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah.
Tragically.
Isn't that one of your dreams? Yeah. To sleep with the fishes?
There are only two animals in animated history that I would like to sow my seed with.
One, Puss in Boots.
The other, Cleo the Goldfish from the Pinocchio franchise. So far, only one film exists in the Pinocchio franchise, but that is enough for me.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, that's...
Wait, are you telling a lie right now? Things are happening.
No, what a crazy sequence. He's having a full-on panic attack, Soprano style, because I guess he's dealing with the fact that he's aging. I don't know. This is the thing. It's so repetitive of things we've already seen in this franchise so far. I think I can't remember what happens in 2 that makes him
Dealing with the pressures of his he being married and trying to escape that life to recapture the adventure that he once had, and also feeling the nerves of monogamy growing and also children coming into that world.
Well, 3 is the one with the big train spotting children nightmare, right?
No, I think that's... Yes, it is.
That's
yeah.
Shrek the Turd. And that one is all about him being depressed by the fact that he's going to be a father. And then this one is him depressed that he is a father. Like, it's the same thing. It's the same journey. And we've said this before. We've said it even when we're watching the Shrek shorts. How many times do we have to watch this bitter cunt... get sad at his lot in life and then have to learn a lesson. Like, get bullied into learning a lesson.
And it's not even a real lesson.
No.
It's always just like, I am fuck ugly and I will be bitter about this, but I'll live with it now.
Was 2 actually might have been the one where he was like, he wanted to be handsome again, right?
Yeah.
So he was dealing with the fact that he was ugly.
Yeah.
And that he wasn't what her parents expected him to be.
Mm.
It was a real meat. The fuckers type situation.
Totally. Yeah.
Whereas the last two have been explicitly dealing with his depression. And I have to reiterate, this is a children's movie.
That's what I will never be able to get over, is I can't imagine watching these films as a child.
No way.
Am I going to get out of it? I'm going to learn too much about the world.
I'm
learning more about the world watching these films.
I got so depressed after that birthday party sequence when he has his Soprano panic attack. And he runs outside to get some air, and his wife comes out, and she's like, come on, you're going to miss your kid's birthday. And he's like, I wish I didn't have kids, Fiona. I wish I never rescued you. And you see her face fall, And I was just like, this is far too fucking real. What is going on?
That's a real moment for a lot of people in this world where they say, lash out and say something they regret.
Sure.
And it's, I think, like we can't stop saying is, I don't think that's appropriate for kiddies. To see that a moment that fucking real between two adults.
Yeah, you want to, look, at a certain point in your life, you need to learn about relationships.
These aren't even comedies. These movies are like really relationship dramas.
Yeah, it's like a fucking... what's a good relationship drama that you would say?
Kramer versus Kramer.
Yes. Any other Dustin Hoffman ones? Tootsie.
Tootsie. Marathon Man. Wag the Dog.
Yeah.
Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Lenny.
Yeah, Lenny. God, Lenny really... change the game.
Yeah, Lenny Bruce. Listen, listeners out there, if you don't know who Lenny Bruce is, do yourself a flavor. Wiki that guy.
Get his podcast up.
Yeah.
Listen to Lessons from Lenny.
Lenny's pod, honestly, he took a lot of hits so that podcasters like us can do what we do.
Could talk about Shrek one day for five or six episodes.
God, okay, so yeah, that is the inciting incident of the story. Is that Shrek
pushes us into the journey of Shrek.
Shrek says that
after.
He regrets ever rescuing Fiona. And who should overhear it? Rumpelstiltskin.
Who?
An evil little boy who has the power to change history for Shrek.
Through contracts.
Yeah, the most boring fucking way of getting around that, getting to that story. This story is essentially... What a Wonderful World type story where
Shrek, a wonderful life. Yeah.
Where Shrek
it's a wonderful
gets
life.
To...
Not What a Wonderful Life.
No, I'm thinking
life.
About the Louis Armstrong song. Yeah. Satchmo. There's a lot of green trees and you can look that up. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
And skies are blue.
Mm.
Yeah, so Shrek gets to see what the world would be like if he never rescued Fiona. It's essentially the plot of Shrek Forever After. But the way they get into that is so... protracted, boring, and depressing that by the time it came around, all novelty was not hitting me at all.
Yeah, and I... Because they did such a convincing job in setting up Shrek's depressed existence.
Yeah.
I never felt sorry for him or his plight of being thrown into this other world.
Yeah,
I felt sorry for Fiona and the kids for no longer existing, but Shrek fucked up.
Yeah.
And Shrek fucking deserved
it. When Shrek starts changing his mind and going, I want to go back to how it was, you're like, well, clearly you don't, because we just saw you scream at your children's birthday party and go full soprano.
You deserve to be tortured. You deserve to be the tortured soul that you are, Shrek.
I mean...
No, not tortured.
I don't
want to
get
on...
ISIS.
No. Come on. I voted for the Greens, not for the Bush party, and I think that's what I feel is I'm talking about emotionally tortured.
Right.
By his own morals going, I did muck this up.
Okay, now can I
Shrek'd my own life.
I just got to ask, are you sure you voted for the Greens?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Queen.
Did you? Please tell me you didn't vote for ISIS.
Dude, I might have actually voted
for ISIS. Oh, no.
I thought it was the Egyptian god of the sun. And I thought, well, if God is real and they've shown their face, how am I not... I mean, I don't want to be punished for not voting for the Egyptian god of the sun.
Oh, Marone.
That falcon's
really,
going to pick my head apart.
You really mucked this up.
I know.
You really mucked this up. That's the you're the reason why we've got one ISIS senator in.
I know. And they are half man, half falcon. I thought everyone would have voted for them.
Half man, half falcon? Wait a minute.
Isn't that what ISIS is?
Mario Fennec? Mario Fennec is...
I voted for the Maltese falcon.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get that reference...
Sorry about it.
You shouldn't be listening to this podcast, I guess. Oh, okay, great. So, all right. So, it's a wonderful life type story. And Rumpelstiltskin allows Shrek to live a alternative reality where he never saved Fiona, essentially. Which is, I think, a really good concept.
I think
it's
very
good. And a
great
concept for this story. It's a way to kind of go Back to the Future 2 on it.
Honestly, I don't know if it is a good concept... But I immensely enjoyed that aspect of this.
I think... Are you saying it's been done to death a bit?
No, I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm saying because I
just
think...
I'm spiraling
right now because I find these movies to be so confused as children's narratives that I can't even tell you what would be a good idea for these franchises. I couldn't possibly think of one, but it's... I enjoyed this one because this is something that I would like to see.
Sure.
You know, Shrek fucking shit up. It basically becomes like the Warcraft movie where it's ogres versus witches. And I mean, that's... Could you have ever predicted that's where this franchise would have gone from, like, humble swamp beginnings?
Not at all. I guess I was interested in it because it looked different and had a different tone to other ones. But the first 10 minutes setting it up kind of ruined it for me.
Mm.
I just didn't care.
But then when we do get into the alternate reality and we see Shrek, chasing us, the villagers, torturing a town, and he's having fun. I did like that little scene, but I couldn't enjoy it because of how crusty of a demon he was.
Well, that's what I think you and I were saying, is that it would have been a smarter move for Shrek's motivation to want to relive his life without Fiona, to have that not rooted in depression or midlife crisis. It could have just more been a lighthearted thing where he kind of just misses the fact that people aren't scared of him anymore.
Yeah, or that he misses of being the life of being a villain.
And the whole thing is like that he just wants to live one day what it was like without her again, or without that, you know, before things were different.
Before responsibility.
Which is fine. You don't need that to be such a heavy motivation, do you? That...
No, I think it just missing your old life. There's one great moment in the monotonous day-to-day life montage. It's that the very end, in the middle of the night, Shrek can't fall asleep. He gets up and he looks into the mirror and attached to the mirror is an old wanted poster for him.
Mm.
And he tries to recreate the growl. And I think that's a really great moment. I think then would be the ideal time for, like, Mr. Rumpelstiltskin to be like, oh, I detect something. Like, maybe he's been camping outside of Shrek's house the whole time, because that way that's the motivation there. We show that he's a little bit bored of his day-to-day life and he wants to recapture some of his youth. He doesn't push everyone away from his life as he has in the past.
We're so sick of that.
We're fucking sick of it.
And here's the thing about DreamWorks before we dive too deep into this story, because I want to talk about Rumpelstiltskin. I want to talk about this alternate reality, but before I do, can we talk for a second about DreamWorks' style, especially with this franchise? Now, we've mentioned that they're quite repetitive here. I found a great article, dudes, if you want to go on the AV Club. There's an article called...
Dudes, go on .com.
Go on avclub.com. There's an article in Run the Series called Shrek's Lazy Example.
It's probably at the top of the page.
And changed animation. I'll link it on the Facebook page. But there's a little... chapter in there where they, paragraph where they describe how Shrek, being the first hit for DreamWorks, first animated hit, then set the principle for what every DreamWorks animation was going to be like ever since then. And this is what they've said. Shrek foregrounded celebrity voices over talented voice cast. That's true. To the point of building characters around their personas rather than creating original characters.
Yeah.
Very true. Shark Tale apparently is a big example of
that.
Have
you ever seen Shark Tale?
No, I have not.
I've got a weird obsession with that movie.
Why?
Because it is currently the last collaboration between two of my all-time heroes.
Scorsese
and De Niro. Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese. So far, they've got another project in the works, but the last thing they collaborated on was Shark Tale.
That's so crazy. And are they playing... Like, is De Niro playing a De Niro type?
He's playing a big gangster, Godfather-style gangster. And Martin Scorsese plays a blowfish with giant eyebrows who... I don't really know what he does in it. I think he's a consigliere.
He's a director? He's a film director?
I think he's a consigliere.
Yeah, all right. It eschewed original music in favor of top 40 hits and covers.
Yeah, big time. I'm a believer.
Yeah.
Smash.
Its visuals and character designs were often flat, which suggested corner cutting as much as a house style. And it dove headfirst into reference-based and juvenile humor. That sums up the DreamWorks style, doesn't it? That's like everything ever since Shrek that they've put out has just been like pop culture references, current music, and like these kind of like foregrounding the fact that we're using celebrities to voice the characters instead of just like... voice artists.
This one, I think, strives a little bit to move away from that.
There's less... Yeah, you're right. There's less overt...
pop culture.
Pop music in this as well. There's maybe two or three music cues.
And they're not as disruptive as in the past. And I think there's less pop culture heavy references throughout the whole film.
Yeah, they're still there, but I think that honestly, after like four movies plus all the spin-offs, they've really run dry. Like the well has run dry on how many things you can pun. There's one at the start where the king and queen go to essentially a caravan park, but the sign says carriage park.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. Like there's maybe a few other little ones peppered throughout.
It's more like less popular culture references, more cultural references.
Sure.
Like the tone of the film, especially going back to this alternate reality in this kind of portal fantasy world rather than fairy tale fantasy this time. It's more reminiscent of Return to Oz, which is... Who directed that? It's someone...
Martin Scorsese, I think.
No. Absolutely not.
Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino. I'm going to quickly look up who it is and then edit this part out of the podcast so it's not as annoying to listen to.
But no, I reckon we should leave it in. I'm really entertained at this point.
I want the facts on this one because it is kind of fascinating. But my hand is typing very slowly for some reason.
Alexi loves the facts. Me, I love the figures. I'm talking about the babes. I got an eye for babes. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah, I love the facts. You love to fap. That's the secret of this podcast. Oh, it is Walter Murch is who I was thinking. So Return to Oz, which was directed by Walter Murch, who was basically history's first sound designer. Mm-hmm. He was the guy for Coppola, George Lucas. He did the Star Wars movies. And he pretty much invented sound design with Apocalypse Now. And he was like a first person to be honored in that way.
And he directed Return to Oz.
He directed Return to Oz. It's the only movie he's ever directed, which is where Dorothy, played by the fierce Fairuza Balk, goes back to Oz and everything's a little bit fucked up and scary now.
Which is essentially what happens in this.
And this film does have a very Ozian style about it, where it is... witches are now the enemy, and they're very Oz-style witches.
The witches who are in this alternate reality... Because here's a spoiler for you guys. In this alternate reality, Rumpelstiltskin has a life without Shrek and Fiona together actually has led to Rumpelstiltskin being the king of Far, Far Away.
What the fuck are we doing? What the fuck are we doing?
We're doing some very important work for Mike.
Yeah.
We're chronicling his work for future reference. Yeah.
But when the aliens come and the human race has no longer exists, there needs to be a record of one perfect man that lived on this world.
Exactly. That's what we're doing here. So Rumpelstiltskin is the king of Far, Far Away. He's very evil and he has these witch minions who are basically the Green Witch from Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
But these witches, I mean, they're more like bitches, let's be honest.
I think they are bitches.
And also, they're more like the monkeys. They're more like they the are evil like monkeys, the monkeys from Oz. There's
because
like so many
Oz,
of them.
Oz, there's only like two green witches, Alphavar and the other one.
Yeah.
And then in this, they're like millions of them.
Yeah. And they're flying about around. They're doing, the brooms. They're doing all this dirty work. It is very Oz-esque. And it is, I didn't see the Warcraft movie.
Yeah.
Although I do respect the artist who created it and... His late father, who
we did lose
Bowie. We lost Bowie.
Unfortunately.
but it does look like that style, too. Mm. It's this kind of like apocalyptic monster world.
Lots of smoke everywhere.
Lots of tartan.
And lots of green beasts. Like, green, there's a lot of ogres beasts in this movie.
So many Shrek.
Which is something I found very exciting to see all these ogres. It was like the movie Ants, but instead of ants, ogres.
Yeah, it made me think, where's the spin-off where it's just all about these other cool ogres?
Yeah.
One of those ogres is voiced by John Hamm.
Yeah, his name is Brogdon or something, and he's handsome.
He is the hot one. He's the only hot ogre.
Finally, I barred up for a fucking ogre in this franchise. But also, it's got Gretchen, who is played by Jane Lynch.
Amazing actor.
One of the greats. You can listen to our podcast, The Lynch Mob, all about all about the works of Jane Lynch.
And please, please make sure when you search for it, you do search for The Lynch Mob with Alexi Tolliopoulos and Cameron James, because there are several other podcasts with that title. And
unfortunately, we didn't think about any socio-political stances when we came up with about that idea. And we really fucked up. That's why there's no episodes of it, but there is an iTunes page for it.
And I gotta say, I don't know why we thought it was a good idea to dress as ghosts in the photo.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense for the name. And then people are drawing some connotations to...
Okay. Let's just move on. We got Craig Robinson playing Cookie, who I thought was a great casting.
Sure.
Straight away works into the Shrek universe.
Yeah.
And he plays a giant fat ogre who cooks chimichangas.
And has a very sassy attitude.
And he's got huge boozos.
Yeah.
He's got really big boobies.
Yeah, I liked Cookie.
And I wanted a Shrek character to have gynecomastia or whatever it's called.
And then, of course, in this alternate reality in which Shrek never saved Fiona.
Who did save Fiona, sir?
Fiona. Who did
who
save
saved Fiona?
Fiona? The answer? Fiona.
She didn't need no saving.
She saved herself, which brings to mind some very important questions for me in that... We've watched three films prior to this where Fiona has been sidelined and given nothing to do, especially Shrek the Turd, where she was
big
literally
time.
Just like he fucking rode away from her on a boat and then we saw her again 90 minutes later.
Yeah.
In this movie, we see what she would have been like without Shrek, and guess what? She's fierce.
She's fucking amazing.
She's sick.
I loved her in this.
Yes.
And she looks so cool. She looks like Xena.
Yep. She's got long red hair. She's wearing cool clothes.
And
she's got swords.
Her hair finally is not in an updo.
Yeah.
It is down. And I think it makes her look so much more beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she's she's a thicker milkshake, we must say. She is a thicker milkshake. And having her hair down just really accentuates her features in a lovely way.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
She looks better than she ever has.
She's stunning. She's the protagonist of her own story.
Exactly.
She's in charge of a rebel army of ogres, one of which is Jon Hamm, and I assume they're fucking.
No, but she's never been kissed.
She's never been kissed, but you know, you can fuck without kissing, you know what I mean? You don't look at the mantle when you're stoking the fire, you know what I'm saying?
Is that from Joe Dirt?
I don't know. In many ways, a lot of things I say could be from Joe Dirt.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, so yeah, she's got the pick of the litter there. And Shrek, the only way he can undo this Rumpelstiltskin curse is to have true love's kiss before the break of dawn.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he will die.
And that is something that these movies do better than anything else that they attempt to do. You know, people remember the popular culture references. People remember the fucking music cues. People remember Shrek and Donkey. But the thing that these movies do best is heartbreak. And I don't think that's a good thing. Because
no.
Even there's these little touches about like Shrek and Fiona becoming closer, but then they do kiss, but they're not truly in love. Fiona hasn't fallen in love with this version of Shrek and nothing happens. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really heavy moment. And there's another heavy moment where they're both captured by Rumpelstiltskin and they're both chained to opposite sides of the room. And when they try to move closer, it's revealed that they're on the same chain link. So when one moves closer, it pulls the other one back. Mm. And that's just a little touch that really like made me feel quite sad.
That is a great... It's a metaphor. It's a great metaphor. And it broke your heart. You got so fucking
I started
teary.
Weeping out.
You weeped and I got to say I had to put my arm around you and
I
it brought us close together.
Yeah, it really did. I cried onto your chest.
Let's talk a little bit about Rumpelstiltskin. This character who is a quite an evil little golem-esque figure. Mm,
he's conniving.
I like his character design.
Yes, I think as
he,
do I.
He looks cool.
He looks like a little troll doll.
Let's talk about the voice casting. Mm-hmm. Now, in these movies, as I mentioned earlier, they normally foreground big, famous people as their stars. So obviously, we've got the main man, Mike Myers, as Shrek.
Yeah.
You got Cameron Diaz as Fiona, mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy as Donkey, Antonio Banderas as Puss in Boots.
Booth.
You've got John Hamm in there, Jane Lynch, big stars. John Cleese, mm-hmm. you know. Who
Julia
do you
Andrews, perhaps the biggest star.
Kathy Griffin, Lake Bell, you know. Who do you think they would cast as this big role, a big featured villain role, Rumpelstiltskin? We've had some big villains in the past.
John Lithgow.
Oh, my God. The other guy.
Rupert Everett.
What's her name?
Jennifer Saunders.
Big name.
Yes.
Rumpelstiltskin, the final villain in the final chapter.
Uh-huh.
And they cast Walt Dorn.
Walt Dorn? This is a name I've not heard of.
Well, don't worry, because I've Googled Walt Dorn, and this is what it says on his Wikipedia page. Walter, that's his full name, by the way.
Not unlike the director of Return to Oz, Walter Murch.
Walter Dorn is an American writer, director, animator, musician, and voice artist.
Okay.
Voice artist is last on his list.
Yes.
This cunt's a writer. Whoa. Why are we getting some behind the scenes nerd to do the voice? I've looked at his filmography. Do you know what? He worked on some of the other Shrek movies as just a story artist and a writer.
Why would they give someone whose career has not been leading up to this point a chance? People should only be given jobs that they deserve.
Thank you. I've been saying that for years. Additional story artist for Madagascar and A Shark Tale? Fuck off, Walter. Shrek the Third, story artist, writer, additional screenplay material. Okay, you're weaseling your way in there.
Yeah,
I can
trying to
see
become
what
a fucking
doing.
Creative,
climbing
dude.
The fucking ladder there.
Come on, dude.
And then Shrek Forever After, lead role as Rumpelstiltskin and head of story.
Head of story?
I see what you've done
there, he got to the top and said, let's not cast a John Lovitz in this role. Let's put me in it all. And then I can get on SNL.
What a fucking nerd. That is, John Lovitz would have been great.
He would have been great.
Imagine John Lovitz as Rumpelstiltskin.
He would have been very funny and it would bring the history of Mike in. I think casting SNL guys in these movies has proven to be good.
Yeah.
The two leads, Mike, Eddie, Rupert Everett. They're all SNL guys.
I was thinking, when I was watching it, I kept thinking, who would I have loved to have seen voice this Rumpelstiltskin character?
I've
Lovitz
put a few
is
down.
Great.
Yeah, Lovitz.
I wrote down Steve Carell.
Great choice.
Mm.
He actually played Gru in this very same year for Despicable Me 1.
I say we fuck off the Despicable Me movies and just cast
if
him in
we
this.
We could go make a Rumpelstiltskin contract to go back in time and change one thing. I would change that. Imagine if Shrek was made cool with Steve Carell. Minions would not exist. And that's a world that I think I would be okay with living in.
I'd like to make one additional change to that, and that is that minions do exist, but they exist in the Shrekiverse.
Or in real world.
Or in the real life.
Minions become real life little slaves for us all. But also, I wrote down a few other little ones.
Okay.
I wrote down Rob Lowe.
Oh, that's a good choice. That's little inspired casting.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah. Benjamin from Wayne's World.
Imagine. Benjamin. That's great. What a great choice. He could play it because he has the range. Mm. He can be funny and dark.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Thank you so much.
I put down, and this might be a little obvious, I've now just realized I've cast two people from other animated franchises. Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, Iago.
Iago.
Yeah,
Iago.
I like that. That would be cool. What would he be like in that role? What would he say? Like, say Shrek's coming up, he's like, I won't leave my family anymore. And then he would be,
oh, hello there, Shrekos. It's me, Rumpelstiltskin.
No, my ears are bleeding.
He's also playing it as a parrot.
Yeah. I'll just run through a couple of the other ones that I wrote down.
Please.
Do you want to go one for one?
Yeah, let's
and just go
one
quickly,
for one.
Quickly. Yep. Robert Smigel.
That's a good choice. And similar to mine, Stephen Colbert.
Great. Chris Kattan.
Ooh, I like that. Mm. I like that. That's a good choice. And I want to see Chris Kattan get back popular again. I need that boy back on our screens. TJ Miller.
Very cool. He even looks like the dude.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what do you got?
David Spade.
Very good. Can I say my last one?
Mm-hmm.
Dana Carvey.
Great choice. I mean, it's hard not to put those two guys together. I wrote a couple more. Amy Sedaris. Eddie Izzard.
Oh, okay. That would be good. I like
and
that.
And Martin Short, but I thought that was too on the nose.
No. How did they not cast Martin Short in this?
I thought it was too obvious, but there is one that I think that we both came up with today while we were watching the movie, there was no contest who it should have been.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who has played a villainous role before that has been very, very, very funny.
Mm-hmm. Someone who is capable of adding humor to evil.
Mm.
Evil is his one and only name.
Right.
Throw me a friggin' bone and tell me who it is, Alexi.
Well, it's someone who's hip. Someone who's with it.
Okay. How much do you think they would charge to appear in this movie? How many dollars?
$1 million.
Okay. All right. Who are we talking about?
Dr. Evil himself, Mr. Mike Myers.
Mike Myers doing the voice of the antagonist. He's done it before.
He's played a hero and a villain together before.
How did this not happen in the entire Shrekiverse?
Because
Mike
one selfish little bastard tried to take all the roles.
This fucking conniving, sniveling rat who wormed his way up the fucking ladder. And then he said, give me all the pieces of the pie. But in many ways, that is the most Rumpelstiltskian act of all. I doff my hat to you, Walter.
But I imagine that. Imagine if we actually got to see Mike play in this world.
I would love that.
Because Shrek, we have said it before, it's not a great Mike character. This is someone who is brought down by depression, not someone who fights through it with a smile on their face like Austin Powers does.
Yes.
It's not someone who feels upset by the way the world has kind of put him in his place, but nonetheless, he bloody headbangs his way to the top like Mr. Wayne Campbell in Wayne's World. This isn't even a guy who may be up against the most evil army in the history of our known universe, but he still makes it through with a smile and a whiskey hold the junk in his tumbler like Ed Fenwick in Inglourious Basterds. But he is a man who is crippled by his own selfish depression.
And you know what? Fuck him. And fuck depression.
Fuck depression. That's what we're saying. Depression sucks.
Fuck depression. And you know what would have been great? Give Mike a chance to be fucking funny in this franchise.
He's a
once,
funny
please.
Fucking guy.
Yeah, we don't need to sit here and watch this dramatic role. It's a drama. Mike is in a drama.
For months we've been saying the best Mike performances in a dramatic role are fucking 54, and which there are shades of in this for some reason when they go into the Rumpelstiltskin's palace. Yeah. It is filmed exactly like when he goes into 54, the studio 54 for the first time. Very odd. That movie's had a bigger cultural impact than we could have ever imagined. And then also in Inglourious Basterds.
Yes.
But maybe Shrek is the great Mike Myers dramatic.
Because I tell you something, honey, he ain't funny.
This guy is not a funny honey.
He's not funny. The other characters are funny. Sometimes.
Sometimes. While we're in this funny area, let's talk about what your Micah's touch was.
Oh, my favorite. Okay, this isn't even a... I know what yours is.
What
I
is
think.
Your best gag?
My best gag is... we both had the same reaction to the same joke.
There was one where we did bust up.
We both busted up. Should we just say what it is?
Yes.
Okay, so Donkey is arguing with Cookie Boy.
Gingy.
I refuse to call him by that name because it is offensive to my people. Albans. And Donkey says, what you talking about, Cracker?
And I thought it was very, very funny.
I was like, how did it take him?
Four fucking movies.
Basically a decade.
And three spin-offs.
To come up with that joke.
And
that is great.
It's so funny.
It's the only good joke. In the movie.
Because there's no jokes in this movie.
The only other touch that I liked was the fact that the Pied Piper, who's like a stooge in this, like a villainous stooge, has no speaking dialogue, but only speaks or communicates through his flute.
And that's funny. Who voiced that?
Well, yeah, of course. We looked up who the voice actor was, and the voice actor was none other than Jeremy Steig.
Wait, the... orchestral flautist?
That's right, the American jazz flautist.
Okay. And sadly, I do have to report that
Jeremy Steig did.
We tragically lost Joby Stick.
He did pass away.
In 2016.
Yeah, April last year.
We couldn't save him.
And can I just say one thing? Can 2016 just stop already?
I know. This is the one of the ones that didn't get reported as much. Keep your Bowies, but we lost...
Jeremy Steig. A.K.A. the Pied Piper from this
the
movie.
The jazz flautist. Because he doesn't have a voice at all. He just communicates with flute.
And it's really, very good.
And it's compelling. It's funny.
It's funny. Plus, jazz flute does sound cool.
It does sound cool. And he's That's saying why I love
all the
Kenny
things he needs to
G.
say. Yeah, you love Kenny G. Me, I like that Kenny G spot. But he's saying all these emotional things just through the flute, and we know what he's communicating.
And it's very, very funny, but he also does a thing where he can change the setting on his flute to who he wants to compel to dance.
Yeah.
And he makes all the witches dance by playing some Beastie Boys.
Yep.
Sadly, we did lose one of the Beastie Boys. But also, he makes them play Shake Your Groove thing. Yep. This makes all the ogres dance in formation.
Yeah.
And I think that is really... I love
Beyonce
it.
Style.
I love when everyone dances in formation and to disco music, not unlike 54.
54, another great mic flick. You actually, you teared up during that sequence because you're moved by large groups of people... And great choreography.
I can't not cry when I see choreography. I guess because I'll never be able to do it. My body doesn't move that way. Maybe I would be immune to the Pied Piper if he were to pipe up around me.
Yep.
Maybe I wouldn't be able to move. Maybe I could smash his fucking head in.
Hey, you are speaking, of course, about the late Jeremy Steig.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Stigos. This one's for you. Oh, no. I just poured out beer all over your carpets.
Dude, suck it up. Suck the carpet. Just kidding. That's grot. That's grot. Yeah, okay. I'm really freaked out by this fractured fairy tale, man. It didn't it disturbed me. I found myself not laughing. I was compelled by the war element to it in some weird way. I liked seeing Fiona be a leader rather than a follower.
I loved that, and it made me hesitant to reach the end of this movie because I know it's a fairy tale. Shit works out for it. And if Shrek were to have true love's first kiss of Fiona, take him back to the real world, and by that I mean MTV's real world, Fiona would be brought back into her shitty everyday life where she's no longer empowered. I don't even think she would have the memories of her being this independent, fierce warrior, a leader of her people.
And that's a real problem for me because this is the most exciting that I've seen Fiona since she first did that famous Matrix slow motion kick.
Which I still find very offensive to the Matrix.
Yeah, well, the Wachowskis had a vision, and that vision was then taken by the Zeitgeist and bastardized. Imagine two people just doing a whole podcast about the ways that the Wachowski's vision has been bastardized by pop culture. Like just defending the Matrix too much.
I would love to do that podcast.
But they're more into 2 and 3 than the first one.
Whammy, the twins. The twins, they made dreadlocks cool, okay? And then these fucking drug dealers out on the streets of Sydney wear their dreadlocks, trying to sell people weed in parties, at shitty house parties, where everyone's drinking wine out of a box, and they made dreadlocks uncool again.
It's fucking bullshit. And also, people don't get the third one. People don't get it.
He's Jesus.
He's fucking Jesus Christ, dude.
He's Jesus H. Christ.
Oh, my God.
Mother of
He's
God.
He's Jesus Christ 2.0.
He's digital Jesus, okay? How do they not get it?
Ugh.
And that's why it's fucking cool.
Anyway, guys, you've been listening to... The Matrix rebranded. Oh God, what a great pod. We should do more of those. That's great. Yeah, I found myself kind of bummed out by the fact, like you're saying, that we're gonna just eventually wake up from this It's a Wonderful Life fantasy and Fiona will be as she was before, but Shrek will be the one who's like, oh, thank goodness I've got my wife back. Like why couldn't we find a way of like having Fiona be more, like, have more agency when he comes back to reality. Because that's the best thing I've seen her do.
Yeah, and was really cool. And that moment where they do save the day, Fiona does save the day, and Shrek starts disappearing into the ether, back to the Marty future style. Yeah, he's strumming it, and he goes away, and then she kisses him, and daylight comes, and then she's still an ogre. She's no longer turning back into a human.
Yeah.
That was a great moment, but then everyone else starts popping away, disappearing back into the normal time, and then when she pops away, that made me real sad, because she's not going to have the memories of who she really was.
It really does bring some interesting questions to mind about, are these women in these stories better off without their male heroes? Mm. Like, is this... The message that we seem to be getting from the writers is that every fairy tale princess would be a stronger, more important person if Prince Charming, or in this case Shrek, hadn't come along and rescued them.
Prince No Charm.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's... Honestly.
He lacks charm.
He is an ogre. He's a legit ogre.
He's an ogre.
Yeah. But, like, isn't that a strange... That's a great message. That's a really good message. And that is a message that could almost be a premise for its own franchise of, like...
Have you got the Fiona Chronicles?
Yeah, but like, but then to undo it at the end, it was, I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from that. Like, all of this, we've just watched Fiona be this incredible warrior, and then all of that was just in service for Shrek to respect her more or something?
If Shrek 2 had been, I mean, Shrek, when he said Shrek 2, I got confused. If they had found the middle ground, that would have been good, because then that would be sending a positive message about people in the real world in today's society, where they do have to conform to the realities of the world, where she, you know, she has now got a family, she does have these children, and we can't really change that now. But if she had her independent spirit, if she was able to retain that, which is what people in the real everyday world strive to achieve, that would have been a positive message.
That would have been a positive
message. Instead, we got a movie about a fucking midlife crisis fat cunt who hates his family and kids until he realizes, like, nah, I am better with them.
When he sees her be cool and then he comes back to reality, he's like, well, honestly, thank God she's not a warrior anymore. Yeah. I don't have to deal with that nonsense. But I do kind of have a newfound thing for her.
Yeah.
He did have a nice line at the end where he said, the best part about this day is that I got to fall in love with you all over again. Pretty cute.
That's great.
You teared up again.
Yes, but that is because I do have an irritation in my right eyeball where I did scratch the inside of my eyelid somehow.
Yeah. I wasn't going to mention that.
But I did bring it up.
You do look like Dr. Evil right now.
I do have a swollen eye.
Yeah.
And every now and then it's easier to cry when watching an emotional family drama such as Shrek.
A kitchen sink drama about a fat cuck who learns how to love his wife again.
Shall we check this, Shrek?
Okay. Can you go first?
So Shrek Forever After, aka the final chapter.
Question mark?
Mm-hmm. Definitely a strong question mark on that. You know what? I liked it. I actually didn't mind this one because it was an exciting adventure. It was more of a fantasy than a fairy tale.
Yes.
And I think because it realized we're not comedies, it didn't try hard to be funny anymore. It just kind of became a sprawling adventure. And I don't mind that. I like the little alternative world where by chance things are a bit different, such as your favorite guy, Puss in Boots, who's usually a sexy Lothario.
I can't believe we didn't talk about Puth.
In this alternate reality,
he's a little chubster.
He's given up the way of the sword and he lives as Fiona's pet, and he's a fat cat. He's a chubby tabby, and I found that quite fun.
He was funny. Antonio Banderas gives a great voice performance as this kind of like pampered pussy. And by the way, I would love to pamper this pussy.
Yeah.
I really would. He's still cute even when he's a little chubbo. He's got more cushion for the pushing. I love him.
If anything, he has been blessed by thickness.
Yes. Well, can I get a witness for this thickness? Please.
Yes, God. And I think I liked that. I liked most things about this movie. But once again, Shrek is the thing I hated most.
Yeah.
And Rumpelstiltskin close seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Imagine this movie with Mike as Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
Dual performance, two different voices. there would have been a different shot of energy. Even we would have been more excited to watch it if
for
we knew
sure.
that. Because it would have been all about, it would have been recreating the Austin and Dr. Evil
dynamic,
and we would have loved that.
And dynamic is the word that we use for a reason. It is dynamite.
Oh, that is a stretch. And a stretch is how I felt this franchise has come to a close. Mm. It's really dragged the world of Far, Far Away out too far. The joke's no longer funny. Mm-hmm. I liked seeing this kind of war element to it. I liked that it was a step back in time sort of movie that I think we could have even done more with.
It might be the best time travel movie since Austin Powers 2. Maybe.
Maybe. But if I have to check it, I got to say that we've spent a lot of time in this podcast suggesting that Mike's downfall is directly the result of the Love Guru. Mm. And I just want to retcon that. I want to Matrix, the Matrix retconned and say that I think the Shrek franchise is as responsible for Mike's decline.
Yeah, I think so. It makes him a little complacent by the amount of money that he's getting.
Yeah, by the time you watch this one, you're like, yeah. I've seen him do all of this before like 8 times now.
Yeah.
And it's repetitive and there's no new shades being brought to it.
Yeah.
And that is a shame.
And there are at least 50 shades of green. They could have put a little more in.
Or 54. But if we had seen him play multiple characters in this franchise, I think the reputation that he has might not be as strong.
It would have shown his versatility. I think that's kind of what had hampered the later half of his career, is that he is an actor who was famed for his versatility in comedic voices, being able to change comedic voices, add different comedic personas, all have a similar heart to them and a similar cheek to them, and making them kind of a little bit... He's made them all more downplayed in the later half of his career. And I think Shrek is the shining example of that, because it's a character that's not funny ever. He's not funny whatsoever at all in any of these movies. And he's a grump. He's a grump chump. That's all
he's
I'm saying.
He's a grump, a chump, and a frump. And, man, I'm not into it.
I'll throw him in a lump.
Yeah. Give me that Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
No, I hated him too. Yeah, it just wasn't good. I got to check it, and I got to say, there were interesting elements to it. But as I've said before, I would much prefer if Shrek was just a TV series and not a series of feature films.
Mm.
I could deal with it in short doses.
Yeah.
So I'm checking it. Didn't like it. Sorry.
So we're kind of on the... We're both in the middle area. You're slightly more falling to the negative side.
Yeah.
I'm slightly more on the positive side in the end of this Shrek journey. Mm-hmm. But it might not be the end of the Shrek journey.
No.
There is Puss in Boots. The
Puss
spin-off.
In Boots, which I cannot wait for. It's apparently a prequel to these. So it's before
exciting.
He knows Shrek, apparently.
Yes, exciting stuff.
Which I'm excited about. We're going to check out that next. That's pretty cool. I also...
Is it cool?
I don't know if it's cool or if it's depressing, but either way, it's happening.
It's a something.
And also, there are rumors that Shrek 5 is happening in 2019.
Yes, NBC Universal did purchase DreamWorks a few years ago now, I think. Mm-hmm. And because this is a giant cash cow of a franchise, they did want to start the Shrek franchise again. And the next one is already being written by Michael McCullers, who is famously the co-writer on Austin Powers, Spidey, Shagney, and Goldmember.
He's a famous Mike collaborator.
And he's a director in his own right. He directed a movie I really like called Baby Mama with Amy Poehler.
Yep.
He also wrote The Boss Baby.
Oh, The Boss Baby Mama.
The Boss Baby Mama.
He could only work in movies that use the word baby in the forefront.
I can't wait for Shrek. Yeah, baby, as the next movie. And that's not all that is on the forefront for things in the Mike Myers world. This is the last episode we're recording before the first episode of the Gong Show premieres.
We are in a pre-Gong Show world right now.
For not much longer. What is the Gong Show?
The Gong Show is a new variety show hosted by famed British comedian...
Comedy legend.
Tommy Maitland, who may or may not be Mike Myers.
Deep undercover in character, has not been revealed to be Mike Myers yet.
We have our suspicions. We did a whole episode on it. You can listen to it a few episodes back. But we're not Look, we are experts on the guy, but we're not the definitive gospel.
Yeah, we are very, very sure it's him, but we can't say with 100% fact that it is.
No, and again, you like the facts, I like the figures.
Uh-huh, that you do, to be sure. And so what we will be doing is we're going to try and get our hands on a copy of that first episode when it airs, and then we will come back with you very, very soon after it has aired to discuss the first episode of The Gong Show, the actual premiere of Mike's character living in the full world. We've watched a couple of interviews and stuff like that with Tommy Maitland, but we do want to see it in action the way it was intended as the host of The Gong Show.
And I just want to say something that's just dawned on me as well. In the past, we've asked people to tweet at us with the hashtag gong if they got laid.
Oh my God.
And I feel like that is another sign that Mike has been listening to our podcast.
Oh my God.
That he's heard us say, tweeting gong if you're getting laid or if you're horny. And people have been doing that, by the way.
Not for a while, because we did. We haven't asked for a while. Thankfully, we did forget about it.
But that is some really crazy universe shit right there. So now I'd like to open the Twitter floors again. Please tweet at us at MikeCheckPod, hashtag gong if you've been laid.
Or if you want to get laid.
Yeah, just fuck dating apps. Just come straight to us. We'll match you with other listeners.
We will. You guys are all meant to be together. Yeah. Admit it.
Yeah.
Yes, you can tweet us at MikeCheckPod. You can also tweet at you at...
I am Cameron James.
You can tweet at me at...
This is Alexi.
Thank you. And also, if you've liked what you've heard on this podcast, you can give us 5 stars on iTunes. And in your review, my recommendation of what you should do is give us the name, title, and concept for what you'd like our next super specific actor-based podcast to be. We do have one from Huey BB. This podcast got my mojo back. My girlfriend couldn't be happier. Can you please do a spin-off ep, Bust a Nutty Professor?
Oh my God.
And rank when Eddie Murphy was at his horniest.
Oh my God.
And my answer to that is... Yeah, baby.
Yeah, we can. That sounds incredible.
That's one of the funniest ones we've had.
That is really
good. I saw that at the start of the podcast and I couldn't contain my laughter.
Oh my God.
And I'm glad that it's on the air now. Huey BB, one of the best ones ever.
Thank you, Huey. That is really good. I can't
wait
to hear.
Anyone out there could write one funnier than that though, so please do tweet them in.
Yeah, please do it.
I mean, do put them on iTunes.
Do you have anything to plug, Lex?
Yes, I do. On the 30th of June, we've got Green Lights Comedy Nights. This is a show that I host and run with my friend Nico Malin. It's one of the best stand-up showcases, dare I say, in the history of mankind. And it's on Friday, the 30th of June at the Gaelic Club in Surrey Hills, 8 p.m. It's only $10. Mm-hmm. And we've got a great headliner.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Mr. Cameron James.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, the Mic Check boys are doing a show together at last.
Yeah, baby. I am going to get really horny.
So do come to that. You're going to see Cameron headlining the great show. 8 p.m., only $10. Gaelic Club, right near Central Station in Sydney, Surrey Hills.
That is going to be so much fun. I would also like to plug that.
Uh-huh.
So that's a double plug right there.
Double plug.
That's double figures you get.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, you know I like them figures. And
I like those facts.
I'd also
that is a fact.
Like to plug the fact that I will be performing at Splendor in the Grass next month. So if you're planning on going to Splendor to see LCD Sound System, why don't you come on over to the comedy tent and see me as well?
Going full Shrek in the green.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be fully Shrek'd out all fest.
You're going to have a bloody mud bath, I'm sure, of a Shrek boy.
You know it. You know it, brother. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Keep listening and keep loving and keep getting horny and keep Shrekking out.
And stay cheeky, monkeys.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast.